Adjunct professors are making news. They're the ones who teach lots of classes at multiple schools, cobbling together a living with their part-time teaching gigs. But what does the word adjunct mean? Here's how Merriam-Webster defines it. Adjunct, noun, something that is joined or added to another thing, but is not an essential part of it. I'm Gina Kaufman. Today on Central Standard, we'll ask about the role of adjunct professors at local universities. Are they extra or essential? Plus, what on earth could make a barbecue family leave Kansas City? That and more after this news. Picture a sunny spring afternoon on the UMKC campus. Flowering trees are in full blossom. Students are taking their time between classes and activities, and we hit them with a question. Do you know if your professors are adjunct or tenure track? And does it make a difference in your education?
You know, I actually do not know necessarily if they are or not. I know I take classes from them, but I'm not entirely certain. It's not exactly, you know, explained or promoted as what they are.
Yeah, my nursing teachers, most of them work at a hospital still and still lecture classes. Most definitely helps because they know exactly what we're getting into in the future to, like, give us an insight to what we're trying to do.
The education of students depends upon their hard work, not even the professor's hard work. It's something like having some less opportunities if the professor is adjunct because we are unable to communicate him regularly. But we need to work on ourselves in order not to blame professors.
I have a couple professors that are adjuncts, but not a ton of them, probably. I know my art professor that I was just with, she's an adjunct part-time. And then a couple of the dance professors are adjunct as well. But I don't know, they offer the same quality. I mean, it's not that they're less educated or less apt to teach or whatever. I think probably it's less beneficial for them because they get paid less.
I'm Gina Kaufman. Today on Central Standard, we are exploring the adjunct dilemma at colleges and universities in our area. There's been a national outcry about the overuse and possible abuse of adjuncts within the higher ed system. But what's going on here? Our guests this morning are Brian Werner, who teaches as an adjunct, and Murray Rose Williams. She reports on higher education for the Kansas City Star. But first, we've got Carmen Maria Machado on the line in the most recent New Yorker. She wrote a moving essay about her personal experience with adjunct teaching. Hi, Carmen.
Hi.
You currently teach as an adjunct, and we'll get into that, but when your story begins, you're still an undergrad. Describe your undergrad experience with adjuncts.
Well, mostly I didn't really know. I guess I didn't really know that I was having experience.
Right.
An undergrad experience with adjuncts. When I went to college, my father, who had went to college, had said, you know, sometimes there are graduate students who teach certain classes because they're getting their graduate degrees and they're TAs. And I definitely was aware that I had certain TAs in some, like, bio 101 class like that. But the idea of the adjunct was not one that he had mentioned. I certainly had never heard of an adjunct. And I didn't really know the difference between my professors who were and weren't.
But there's one professor who had a really big impact on your life, and that professor did turn out to be an adjunct. But talk about the experience itself and how you experienced at the time and then viewed it later on.
Sure. So at the time, it was just became my favorite class in undergrad. He was a fiction writing teacher named Harvey Grossinger. And I sort of took the class on a bit of a whim and then loved it. And I took it several times, actually. I kept repeating the course because it was a workshop course, so I could. And I repeated it. And toward the end, I ended up doing it as an independent study. And so Harvey would give me even more work, you know, to make it the independent study. So he would, you know, sort of meet with me extra and talk to me about various books and assign me just sort of other materials in addition to the regular workshop. And so that was my experience, and it was really, really fruitful and full. And I learned so much and got really inspired and started doing a lot of more of my own writing. I mean, I had been a writer before, but I just got really inspired, and the books that he was showing me were just so wonderful, and I got really excited. So began my writing career.
Yeah, and he stayed with your career and with you beyond your graduation even.
Yes. So I graduated, got some work, moved. And then when I decided to apply to graduate school, I reached out to him just for a recommendation letter. And he said, oh, no. He said, I'm going to help you with this process. And he was just, held my hand the entire way, sort of recommended schools to apply to, helped me edit my sort of writing portfolio. He was with me every step of the way. We would email sometimes daily. I couldn't have done it without him. Nothing that I have now would be possible without his guidance.
And what you have now includes, a master's degree from the Iowa Writers Workshop, sort of the holy grail for writers.
Yeah, I would not have even applied. I actually, when I initially applied, I was sort of had some smaller schools that were sort of close to me. And he said, no. He said, I think you can do this. And he told me to apply to, he gave me a list and on it was Iowa. And I said, I don't know how I feel about that. And he was like, just do it. So couldn't have done it without him.
When you found out that this person who's spending extra time with you in an independent study, who's taking time to write you recommendation letters and to advise you in your career, when you found out he was adjunct and being paid per credit course as a kind of a part-timer, how did you feel?
It felt very strange, and I felt bad, which is, a bit of I felt almost guilty, which is not really fair, but I didn't realize what an adjunct was or kind of how the adjuncts worked. I knew that he had stopped teaching at the school that I had taught at, and the other schools that he had taught at, he had sort of had stopped doing that some years before. And I thought to myself, he must be this adjunct thing that I'm learning about. And then I felt very guilty because I thought, wow, basically, a full-time or tenured professor, part of their job is writing letters of recommendation. It's part of sort of the process of being a teacher. But for him, everything that he would give me that was not sort of the barest instruction during the semester was sort of extra. So thinking about that afterwards, I felt like it would be very sort of strange about sort of what the emotional state that sort of inspired me to write the essay.
So how had you known, would you have reached out to him outside of class or beyond graduation?
This was sort of the question that I asked myself as I was, no for sure, but I don't think I would have. I think that I would have thought, well, that was a wonderful time that I had an undergrad. He's already given me so much, and I guess I'm just on my own from here on out, which would change my entire life.
Carmen, I'm going to come right back to you. Hang on with us, but I want to get Brian Werner, who's with us in the studio, to tell us if this bears any resemblance to his own experience. Brian, you're a PhD candidate in economics, and you're doing some adjunct teaching as well. Tell us about your arrangement and how it's working for you.
Sure. So I have I'm currently in my second year teaching at Park University and Baker University School of Professional and Graduate Studies. I can't say I can speak to that exactly her experience as much, but I have been talking to other adjuncts recently, and it sounds very familiar to what I hear from them, which is that they will constantly do things that are above and beyond what they actually get paid for. With a full-time person, part of your contract is you get paid for the courses you teach, but also you get paid you get paid to mentor students and you get paid to serve on committees. That's part of your contract. As an adjunct, you are paid just for the classes you teach. But what I've seen from talking to many other adjuncts is that they're constantly acting, like she described, in ways to help students that are above and beyond what they're being paid to do.
You wouldn't want someone in the classroom who isn't going to be responsive to a student in this bigger kind of sense. Do you feel that pressure?
You definitely have time pressures as an adjunct. It's since you have a much higher teaching load than a full-time person, it's difficult to be able to devote as much time as you feel like you should. And I think adjuncts in general will put that time in, and they'll put in extra hours in order to give the students that experience that's right. But there's a lot of time pressures that make that really tough to do.
Time pressures such as?
Well, because of the teaching load. So a normal teaching load at a undergraduate institution would be three courses a semester. since adjuncts get paid in the Casey area, the pay for one course is anywhere from $2,300 to about $2,800 for normal undergraduate courses. So teaching only three courses a semester isn't going to be enough to get by. It comes out to about $2,000 after taxes. So that even if you do fall, spring, and summer, then that comes out to maybe $18,000 for the year.
So you just don't have time to do what's beyond your contract.
So most adjuncts are teaching, instead of three courses a semester, they're teaching five or six courses a semester. And so you have to and then there's limits at any individual institution. You can't have a full-time load because they pay you as on a contract basis and that you're not a full-time employee. So they will limit the number of courses you have. And so not only are you teaching six classes a term, but you're teaching it at two or three different institutions. So while you'd like to stay for an hour after class and help someone extra with their writing, you have to get in the car and drive across town to another school.
Well, let's get back to Carmen for just a second. Carmen, you yourself are an adjunct these days. Can you get into a little detail about how that works in your life logistically?
Sure. So like I mentioned in my essay, I'm very lucky, and I fully recognize that when it comes to being an adjunct, because I have some sort of things that are going for me. I have a partner who works full time, so I don't have to take on like a six class load, which is really wonderful. But when I do take on sort of the most number of classes that I do in a semester, when I'm sort of trying to maximize my income, it becomes very difficult. And I had a semester recently where, I loved the classes I was teaching. I was really excited about it, but I never stopped working. I was sort of spending my weekends prepping for the class for the week, and then I would teach all week. And then I also had a commute that I had to do to one of the schools. And it was just a lot of work, and too much work. And then my own, on the side, I'm trying to do freelance writing, also working on my own sort of personal projects. And
freelance writing for a little publication called The New Yorker.
Yeah. I do like book criticism and some other things as well. But also, I'm trying to write my own book. And so, it was really a challenge. And then of course, I want to give every student as much attention as humanly possible, but it's also extremely difficult when you're sort of juggling all that work, and you're trying to, do your commutes and do all your grading and office hours and everything else that you have to do.
Has it ever? Can you give us a concrete example of a time when maybe it has affected the kind of support you were able to give a student?
Well, last semester I remember really wanting to. I was sort of had the semester worth of teaching, and then at the end, they sort of have these final projects that they have to do, and I sort of got the final projects, graded them, and handed in their grades. And I had a few students request some sort of, more detailed feedback on this final project, and I just simply wasn't able to give it to them because I said, I'm sorry, I just don't have the time. And that's sort of a weird feeling, because I don't want to say that. I want to students reach out to me and they say, yes, here, let me give you as much time as I can. But it just doesn't work out that way.
You've expressed some concern that the students you teach might end up following your example, like you followed your mentor's example. When you go out of your way to provide that kind of support and maybe become the kind of professor who sticks in someone's mind, do you think that is a real danger, that you're perpetuating a cycle?
I do think that encouraging students, that saying to students, oh, there's this thing you can do and it's called adjuncting, it is kind of dangerous because it is this profession that's becoming, schools are hiring more and more adjuncts. And it just seems like a very weird sort of aspirational thing to say to them, oh, you can become this thing that is so difficult that most people, it crushes a lot of people because it just seems unfair somehow. And it really bothers me.
Is there a limit to how long you can do this?
Yeah, I've set some limits for myself. I love teaching. And like I said in the essay, I love teaching so much, and to give it up would be heartbreaking. But, I don't want to be doing this when I'm trying to buy a house and have children. And because it wouldn't be possible sort of time-wise for me. So I set sort of a mental limit for myself, a certain number of years. And then, if I really am having trouble sort of finding work that's
you know, like tenure track work, then I guess I'll have to find something else to do, which just breaks my heart. I don't want to do that. But it's sort of these are the choices that adjuncts have.
Do your students know that you're an adjunct?
Some do and some don't. I know some do because they've asked me or we sort of talked about it. And certainly some students either don't know that I am or don't know what adjuncts are. I think that's pretty common.
Why don't more students know about this?
Well, schools don't really have an incentive to talk about it, do they? If they did talk about it, there'd be a lot of questions. You know, how much of a school's tuition, for example, is being directed toward teachers? And so schools have no incentive to bring it up at all. Teachers themselves may worry that their jobs might be in jeopardy if they bring it up, or they might just be kind of embarrassed, or maybe they just don't feel like it's necessary to talk about it. So I think there's a lot of sort of competing reasons that people don't really address it. But I think if we did talk about it more, I think we could begin to see some change in the system.
Carmen Maria Machado, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
Carmen is the author of Oh Adjunct, My Adjunct, out now in the New Yorker magazine. Let's get local. If you're a student in or around Kansas City, call 816-235-2888 to tell us how the use of adjuncts at your school is affecting your education. If you knew your favorite professors were adjuncts, would that matter to you? 816-235-2888. Brian Werner, you told us a little bit about your arrangement. You're a PhD candidate in economics. Where does the adjunct teaching you do fit into your overall goal or your current situation?
Sure. Adjuncting for me was originally a way to get teaching experience beyond just as a student teacher. And so I originally have seen it as a pathway. In terms of making extra income, it's a little bit, but it's not a very good strategy for making extra income. So I see it as a short-term arrangement, and I know very clearly that it's not something that I want to be doing over the long term. So if I'm unable to get a full-time job teaching, then rather than continue adjuncting, I'd look for work in something else.
So I know it's kind of sensitive to talk about your finances, but have you ever done a breakdown with the per-credit course payment that you get as an adjunct and what would break down to like an hourly rate?
I haven't done the exact hourly rate. I can give you an idea. Because I've just done my taxes, and last year I did eight or so full-time classes, and the take-home pay for that was just over $16,000. So
for eight classes?
For eight classes. So that's, again, what would be a full-time load at most universities, and it comes in at $16,000, and that's no benefits included at all. So luckily, again, I have a wife who I get health insurance through her job, because if you have to pay health insurance out of that. So I was doing other work besides teaching to supplement the income, but the teaching alone is a pretty hard way to make it work.
We've gotten a decent sense of what does and doesn't work for the adjuncts themselves. Do you ever get the feeling that it might not be working for students?
Well, I think most adjuncts work really, really hard to make sure that's not the case. I think the reason most students don't know, part of it is that adjuncts will put in more time than they're really paid for. And so they're day in, day out working really, really hard to make sure that the experience that students get in the classroom isn't any different. I think there are more subtle differences, which is if a student has a problem, can they come knock on your office doors? Most adjuncts don't have offices. So you miss that kind of personal interaction. You tend up doing everything over email, but there are some times when that really isn't the same thing as sitting down and talking to someone in person. I think they're less likely to be really honest with you than if you had a personal conversation. So I think there are a lot of those little ways in which the educational experience is different.
How many PhD candidates are there in your doctoral program in economics, excuse me?
I don't know the number off the top of my head, but suffice to say it's more than the number of teachers, full-time teachers there are at UMKC.
So, and that's every year there are more people getting these PhDs than there are people getting hired, and that's just within one school, but do you think it's the case that these programs are enrolling and graduating more students than there are jobs for by a pretty significant margin?
It depends on the field, because within economics, there's a lot more opportunities outside of academia. And so you can get an a job within economics, in finance, or in business and a lot of other areas. So,
and that might be a lot of people's goal.
So even if – for some people it's the goal. And so even if someone wants to teach but is unable to find a job, they can still – they have kind of a backup. For areas that are more strictly academic, I think it's a lot harder in those areas.
Murray Rose Williams, you've looked into this as a reporter on higher education for the Kansas City Star. Have there always been more PhDs than tenure-track positions?
I don't really know the answer to that in terms of always, but I do know, as Brian was just saying, that what I've been told in my reporting is that there are far more PhD candidates coming out of institutions than there are positions in academia. And so many of them do end up taking adjunct positions so that they can work. I mean, this is what they love. And so they end up taking these positions in many cases to thinking it's a foot in, you know, to a tenure track or full-time position, which then doesn't happen. And they get stuck in this horrible cycle of being an adjunct. The longer you're an adjunct, the less likely it is that you'll ever be tenure track.
Why is that?
Because these institutions, they save a lot of money. I mean, this has been happening for decades. So let's say 2008, when we went through this recession, it really picked up then. And when institutions were finding that they were getting less and less state support, especially public institutions, and they had full-time professors who'd been there a long time who were retiring.
But what I'm really curious about is why it would hurt someone's chances of getting a tenure-track position. A specific individual would have a worse chance than someone who hasn't done this.
Brian might be better to answer that. Yes.
It's really a two-tiered system. And so when you're applying to academic jobs, they look for some teaching experience, but surprisingly little is okay. So often if you've taught a couple classes but you have a strong research pedigree, then you can still get a job in a tenure-track position. So having some adjunct experience would be fine. You can show that you've taught some. But having 10 years of adjunct experience over two doesn't help you any. And I think in a way it kind of marks you as, well, you haven't gotten a job yet. So I think that more than a couple years of adjunct experience doesn't really help you on the job market.
And it seems also like that kind of work schedule would interfere with doing the kind of research that would maybe be more helpful.
Of course, you don't have, because of the time pressures, you really don't have time to devote to research like you should. And most schools don't have a way in. So there are typical tenure track positions, but there are also full-time lecturer positions where someone is full-time a teacher, but they're not expected to do a lot of research. And most schools don't have those available for teachers that have taught as an adjunct for 5 years that they can transition into a full-time role. That's an option that could be a bridge between the two, but it's not an option in a lot of places.
Murray, do we have percentages for the use of adjuncts at local schools? I've read that the national average is about 40%.
Actually, the national average is higher than that.
It's
a lot higher than that. It's 70% actually nationally. And for example, here at UMKC, 64% of their professors are what they call contingent. I mean, some institutions use the term contingent rather than adjunct, and that encompasses both graduate students who are teaching as well as lecturers and so forth. So MU has 57% of their faculty, Missouri State 52%, KU 42%, UMSL in Rolla 68%, and they're the highest in the area for the public institutions at 68%, all the way down to K-State's got 37%, and that's because at K-State, the further out an institution is, the more rural it is, the less likely that they will have a high percentage of adjunct professors, because the adjuncts need to teach at several different institutions in order to make a living wage. So if you're way out, like in Manhattan, where there's K-State's your only option, you can't travel from institution to institution easily to make that living wage.
So are these percentages going up, holding steady, or what, within our own area?
They are going up, But with the movement that's happening now, it's likely that it will begin to level off. There are changes. People are more aware of what's happening to adjuncts, so that's likely to have some impact, as well as the effort that's coming up with adjunct professors beginning to unionize. And that's also another movement.
Central Standard is headed to a break. Call 816-235-2888 to join this conversation about adjunct professors at local universities. How have adjuncts shaped your education? I'm Gina Kaufman. We'll be right back. And we're back. This is Central Standard, and we're looking at the role of adjunct teaching in and around Kansas City. We're getting perspectives from teachers and reporters here in the studio, and we want you to call in with the perspective of a student. 816-235-2888. When you call, you'll join Brian Werner of Park and Baker Universities and Murray Rose Williams of the Kansas City Star. Murray, before break, you were giving us percentages for local schools. They seem to hover around the 40s and 50s in percentages in their reliance on adjunct professors. You said those percentages have been going up, but that you have some hope that they may at least plateau. How about tuition? Is tuition increasing at these same schools?
Oh, yeah. Tuition has been increasing for years. I mean, it goes up every year. Of course, in Missouri, there is a cap on how high they can raise tuition. They have to they can't go higher than inflation. So there is a limit on how high it can go in Missouri. But yes, tuition goes up every year.
So this is kind of confusing because it seems intuitively like tuition increases should make it possible for schools to maintain a full-time teaching staff.
And that would be what the administration would tell you. They would tell you if they had to pay adjuncts more, give them benefits, that it would impact tuition, that it would force tuition up. And that's what you'll hear. And so it kind of is almost like a fear tactic that, okay, well, we're not going to push for higher wages because we don't want to price people out of a higher education.
But the tuition increases that have been happening and are already happening, where is that money going?
Well, that money goes to administrative salaries. It goes to the professor salaries. It goes to building other things on the campus to keep, you know, a campus running.
So what would you say about the overall picture of what students are getting out of local institutions for higher ed in sort of a per dollar sense?
Ask me that question again.
So as far as like what students are getting for their tuition money, how would you say that the picture of today's picture differs from maybe a model from the past?
I'm not going to say that it's so much different because, as Brian was saying before, I mean, what the student gets out of their education today, these adjunct professors who absolutely love what they're doing, they're giving their students are getting a good education. It's the principle of the deal. And I mean, Brian might have a little bit more to add to that because he's in the mix, but I think that students are still getting a great education, a quality education. It's just the principle behind it.
But over time, the role that colleges has played, I think, has shifted a little bit. And so that a university today is asked to do more things and to be more things than just education.
What kind of things?
Well, so all the different things about the social activities and the outside of the classroom activities that in order to be competitive in a market you have to provide. And you know, even just things like new facilities. I mean, if you tour colleges' campuses, you see there's always construction going on. So there's always new buildings being built because – and part of it's a competitive thing, the newest computers and all that. So while tuition's been going up, the actual percentage spent on instruction at a lot of places has gone down. So the more money is, in theory, being brought in, but it's not being directed towards, for the most part, even full-time professor salaries, definitely not towards adjuncts who in some places haven't seen pay increases in years.
So you are an economist, mm-hmm. and you're kind of attributing some of this to market demand as far as what is important in the market of students and their parents who are looking at schools and seeing what's being offered. Does this reflect some kind of social philosophy when it comes to the meaning of education, just that market demand has to do maybe a little more with amenities?
I think there is, to some degree, what we've come to expect from a college experience has grown larger than it was, especially, say, 100 years ago. So we do expect colleges to be this overall, you know, enriching experience for young people. But I think even within colleges, there's shifts between who makes decisions and, you know, compared to 100 years ago when most decisions were made by faculty committees, and now there's entire administrative staffs that does change who makes the decisions and possibly where money goes then.
Do you see the constraints around your role as affecting the students who, in theory, on some level, a professor kind of represents the needs of their students within conversations at the university level?
Yeah, because adjuncts are completely absent from those conversations. Adjuncts are not typically involved in faculty meetings. They wouldn't have a vote at some faculty, like a faculty senate, wouldn't be involved there. And so even things like if I think there'd be student interest in a course, I may not have a voice at the faculty meeting to say that. Or if I think some change in policy is affecting students negatively, there's no one for me to communicate that to. And if I do, you know, a lot of adjuncts are afraid to communicate anything that might seem like dissent because their contracts might suddenly just be cut off. And they may not get any word. It's just all of a sudden they don't get any offers for the next term. So that there's a lot of fear even to voice what were not even that critical of opinions.
Yeah, that's a problem. Adjunct professors have no academic freedom. So, and they're not involved in the governance of the institution. So that is a problem, especially when you have percentages as high as I mentioned before, that number of adjunct professors on a campus. That's a whole huge population of faculty that are cut out of the mix.
Let's hear from Alex. He's calling us from KU. Hi, Alex.
Hi, I'm in the School of Engineering at KU, and most of the math classes that I took were taught by adjuncts. And so one of the experiences that sort of negatively impacted me was I had a suggestion. So when you're learning math in alternate dimensions or, say, like 3D math, it's really – like one of the biggest difficulties is visualizing, like, what you're doing, the functions that you're performing in this dimension. And, I mean, 3D technology is something that we have and that most universities possess, but it's not being used in the classroom to help teach and to help understand the math that's going on. So I had a suggestion, hey, let's get some guys, program some 3D functions, and you can use it in your classroom to help teach your students. But because he wasn't part of the faculty and because he wasn't part of any meetings, there was kind of no communication or coordination towards making that happen.
And your professor communicated this back with you?
Yeah. I mean, he answered it just like that. He said, I'm actually not part of the faculty, and coordinating something like that would be really difficult for me, but I do know somebody that I can, you know, sort of forward the email to. Instead of, you know, if it were a professor, obviously something could have been done, I'm sure, right away, because they've been part of the institute for years or whatever.
How did you work around that, I guess, within the classroom? Because it sounds like you were trying to address a need that you had as a student. Did that need get met in some way, even if not with this programming?
Yeah, see, now that's another perspective, is that maybe the adjunct is sort of a phasing out of the professor as the online community is growing. If I have a question, my first place isn't to go to the professor or to an office hour. My first place I'm going to go to is the internet. And I mean, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be found on the internet. And so a lot of times, 90% of my learning is probably done online and
wow,
independent from the teacher and independent from the fact of whether they're adjunct or tenure.
I'm seeing some faces in the studio that I think I should address. Brian, how do you feel as someone who does aspire to be a professor and who does teach as a living? How do you hear feeling that students might be turning to some resource other than a professor?
Well, of course, students look at things online and they use things online even when they shouldn't sometimes. But, you know, I'll tell you what rung true about his comment was just trying to get basic resources. So I've been trying to get certain software so I can post videos on my online class and have been told, well, you don't have a school computer because you're an adjunct, and so we can't give you the software license. So then I have to go either find a free software or pay for a software out of my pocket, and just so I can add the appropriate content to a class. So there's lots of these really, really small daily struggles that adjuncts face. But I also think, you know, in terms of the course, the planning, not having adjuncts in with departments means that over time, there's a lot of people that aren't represented as professors and then aren't represented in broader university discussions about the way that education should go. And so there are people that should have a voice in making policies going forward that are excluded.
Murray, do you think this is a phasing out of the quote unquote professor?
There has been talk that's what is happening, because as you get more and more adjuncts, obviously fewer tenure track, fewer tenure faculty. So there is this whole discussion that this may be a phasing out of the professor, which is kind of sad. But yeah, that's what I've been told.
Is the negative reaction that I'm feeling upon hearing that, is that a sentimental reaction that I'm having? Or do you think that is something important that this professor figure offers?
Well, I mean, Brian and I were talking earlier about this whole sense of respect that's given to a professor, a tenure track professor, as opposed to an adjunct. Does not mean that the adjuncts aren't highly capable. It's just this whole sense of academia that's changing and becoming more corporate. And there's just something lost society-wise when you take away the full professor from academia.
Is there something lost academically?
I think there is. I mean, ultimately, we can look at it in terms of a matter of what do we want educational institutions to be in the future. And I think we have to focus on the goal of the education that students are getting and investing in the people that are providing that education. So having teachers that are paid enough and paid really comparable that they can go into teaching and not be taking a huge pay cut from even the private sector allows people to have the appropriate time to invest in their students and really invest in the education.
Let's talk to Jeff in Overland Park. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Janet. I actually have been listening with great interest because I've been an adjunct. I've been a tenure track and tenured professor, and I've been a department chair. So I've hired adjuncts, I think there's all different sides to this story. There are clearly large universities which hire adjuncts so that they don't have to hire tenure track people, and for whom these big R1 schools, they just, you know, it's a totally different situation, I think, at K-State than it is where I was at one of the local small liberal arts colleges. And we hired adjuncts because I had 3.5 FTEs that I could cover.
What is FTE?
That's a full-time faculty member. So I'd have 3 full-time and a half of a faculty member, and we could cover so many hours of classes. And in order to serve the students, we had to have 2 or 3 more adjuncts to teach a class each. The university's not going to give those departments a full-time or even a half-time position just because they don't have the money. I don't think the smaller ones don't.
Well, thanks. Jeff, let's get some response to that here in the room.
Well, I think part of that is the level that adjuncts are paid. If adjuncts are paid more, then suddenly the differential between a full-time person, whether it be a full-time tenure track or just a full-time person teaching, that pay differential would go down if adjuncts were paid really a decent rate. And so it starts to change. If adjuncts can successfully get together and push those wages up, then it makes it a lot harder for them to just say, oh, we'll go to adjuncts, as always their financial response.
Central Standard has to go to one last break. I'm Gina Kaufman. We'll wrap up this discussion when we come back. Plus, we'll visit a Kansas City barbecue joint in San Diego. That story and more after this break. Don't go away. I'm Gina Kaufman, and you are listening to Central Standard. We'll be getting to barbecue shortly with our Leaving Kansas City series, but for now, let's stick with adjunct professors and how their role might be affecting students. Murray Rose Williams of the Kansas City Star, welcome back.
Hi.
And adjunct professor Brian Werner, hi to you too.
Hello.
So I guess I have this question of do we have to see this as a problem, or is it possible that this is just a different arrangement than we're used to and something that we could potentially adapt to? Is there an adaptation that would make you comfortable, Brian?
Not a minor one. I think that I don't know if the tenure track professor, if that the relevance of and the primary role of that in education is going to continue going forward. I would like to see that it happen, but I think there are some changes within that could happen. I don't know, but I think there's a difference between how adjuncts are currently being treated and even how adjuncts could be treated. And a lot of this, you know, there's the monetary side, which is incredibly low, as we've talked about, and I think that schools have turned to adjuncts as a way to deal with financial problems. It's not that paying adjuncts too much has created financial problems. So the financial side's really there, and adjunct pay would be a big thing. But there's also lots of little things about adjuncts being involved in the department, involved in planning, not having classes canceled a week before they're supposed to go on, that are non-monetary factors.
Let's hear quickly from Paul. Paul, we've got just a minute. What do you have to share?
Yeah, so I completed a master's program here in Kansas City in 2013. And something I noticed over my 4 years at this institution was that many of my adjunct professors really encouraged me to do a better quality of work than many of our tenured professors. And so I just wanted to affirm the hard work that adjuncts put into this job and also the quality of student that they made me in my 4 years.
Thanks, Paul. That's sweet. Murray, what can you share about this whole, like, what could change? What could make, I mean, it sounds like someone like Paul is having, as a student, a great experience with adjuncts. Is there an adjustment that could fix this?
Well, I think we're beginning to see adjustments as the dialogue continues about adjuncts. Some institutions are doing things like Brian mentioned, giving adjuncts more say in what happens on campus, allowing them to be more a part of the institution. And as that begins to happen, we'll begin to see some changes.
Are adjuncts mobilizing in Kansas City?
Yes, I'm being told that they are already in St. Louis, for example, on Washington University. They have mobilized there and joined a union. That union is moving also in Kansas City across the metro area. So, yes, they are mobilizing.
But a lot of adjuncts are afraid to do it because, as we said, you know, course offerings come from the department chair usually, and they come and go. And so a lot of adjuncts are afraid that if they started going to meetings, for example, that suddenly their course offerings would be cut off. And there's probably some truth to that in some areas. And so even though organizing is legally protected by law, you have a right to talk to your fellow employees about working conditions. A lot of adjuncts are still afraid of repercussions and getting their courses completely cut off.
So if there was something that could resolve the problem financially, do you think it would be more funding for higher ed or different priorities within universities?
Well, funding cuts definitely play a role, especially within state institutions. You get funding cuts that come from above and they get pushed down to wherever they happen. So long term, we do need to fund education at a level that we can pay the people that are doing the education a fair wage. But I think it also is a matter of just having a place at the bargaining table, because there are some educational funds out there that are being diverted in other places. And so having adjuncts have a role in that negotiation would help to make sure that they at least have a voice in where any tuition money is spent.
Murray, what's your insight on that? A final word.
I think that the institutions that have already unionized and already have been able to do it and have been able to pay the higher wage for adjuncts without...
Locally, that's happened?
Well, not so much locally, but what's happening... across the country is definitely going to impact what happens here.
Well, we've got to wrap up this discussion about adjunct professors, but let's continue to stay in touch. Murray Rose Williams of the Kansas City Star, thanks for joining us. Keep us apprised of your reporting.
Thank you. Sure.
And Brian Werner, adjunct professor at both Park and Baker Universities. It's been good to hear your story. Best of luck to you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.